Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Joy to the world, that's the title of our Advent series. You're going to hear that every week, joy to the world. You're going to hear why we find and why we should have joy because of Jesus Christ. Today's message is going to be on receive your King. Hopefully all of you have done that, but if not, you will have a chance before the morning is over. Next week, our children are going to have a program, and it's going to be called Prepare Room, Prepare Their Room. And then third week, Pastor Ryan is going to preach on grace and truth. And on Christmas Eve, Pastor Jeff will speak on the wonders of love, the wonders of God's love. You know, as I've studied this song, Joy to the World, I wanted to get an idea of what the song was about. Why was it written? To who was it written? When was it written? And the meaning behind it, because all these songs have meaning. People have prepared a song based upon something that they've experienced or something that they have read, and they've come up with this song that reflects that. No different in this song. This song was written back in 1719 by Isaac Watts. He wrote this song after reading the 98th Psalm. And studying that psalm, especially in verse 9, it says that he, Christ, will come back to judge the world. And so Isaac wrote this song knowing that Jesus Christ was going to come back for his people, to judge his people, to take his people home. And he wrote the song, Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. The wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. He wrote that song because of that psalm and his excitement about someday the Lord coming back again. As believers, we should all have that kind of excitement about when the Lord comes back. And the Lord comes back in different ways. He comes back one by one for a lot of us. And when our time is ready and God is ready for us to go home, he comes and takes us home. And secondly, if that doesn't happen and we live long enough, he may come back and take all of his people home that are still here together. But either way, he will come as King to take his people home. But sometimes that is not all that joyous to think about that, because unfortunately we sometimes look at it very worldly. We don't want to leave our families. We don't want to leave our home, maybe here, or maybe we're attached to certain things. And yeah, we're ready to go, we say, but we are also sad. But you know, it should be a joyous time, because that time will be when we can spend eternity with him. I know I found myself at times understanding this principle, and I get reminded of it almost on a weekly basis because of the things I do and in my profession, I guess you could say, my calling. I get reminded of how fragile life is and how that at any time God could call me home as well. And so whenever I think about that, I think, you know what, wouldn't it be great when I watch the news and I hear what's going on and all the chaos and the turmoil that's in our world today, and I found myself making a statement, man, I wish the Lord would just come back. Have you ever made that? It's like, you know what, I'm tired of seeing all this. And I don't do it out of a selfish way for me, because, yeah, that's one thing. I'm older, and I don't have that much longer here on this earth probably. But I think about it more for my kids and my grandkids, my great-grandchildren. I think about that generation and think that, you know what, the way the world's going, I feel bad for them, knowing that it's going to continue to get worse probably, and they're going to have to live in it. And so I'm like, God, why don't you just come back now and spare us all that? But again, we find out that that's not our timing. Our timing is not always God's timing. So even though we live in this world that we live in, and even though we know things are bad, Isaac Watts still writes a song and tells us to find joy when the Lord comes back. Many years later, this song was turned into a Christmas song back in the middle 1900s. And they decided to use this as a Christmas hymn. Again, it's very appropriate when you look at the words, joy to the world, the Lord has come. He came in the beginning as a king. He was born as a king. And so some of the same things are true. So this song fits very well at Christmas time, even though it wasn't necessarily written for that. And then for some of you younger generation or maybe middle-aged generation, you remember that there was also another version of Joy to the World. It was written by Three Dog Night, right? Jeremiah was a bullfrog? Yeah, there we go. So this song definitely has meaning for all of us. And so we look at this song as the title of our Advent season. So whatever we want to celebrate, whether it's the birth of Christ when he came as a king in Bethlehem and to Mary and to Joseph to live his life as an example for us and to live for us and to teach us and eventually die for us as a sacrifice, or whether we look at this as the second coming of the Lord and he finally says, enough is enough, I'm coming home to take all those who are still here and to take my people home. Whether you look at it either way, it should be a joyous time for us. It should be. One major point of what I'm going to speak on this morning is the fact that Jesus came as a king. He came as a king. The Jewish people were looking to him to come as a king to maybe solve some of their problems and their issues and to help them in the future. But they didn't have the right idea of why Jesus was coming. They didn't totally understand that. But they still understood the fact that he was born a king of the Jews. Would you bow with me and pray? Father God, I just thank you for these passages that we're going to look at this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you will speak to us through your word, that you will help us to understand what it means to have you as our king, to become people who are part of his kingdom, and how that makes a difference in our life. I pray, Lord, that you will just help us to absorb your message and your passages and your scripture and your truth and put it into our life. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you a few passages that talks about Jesus as king. First passage I would like to read to you again is the one that has already been read from Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He came as the king to reign on David's throne. Matthew 2:2 tells us this. It's a familiar story, especially for this time of year. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Then let's also look at an example of the coming at the end to take us home as king. John 18:33-37 says, Pilate then went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are king then, said Pilate. And Jesus answered, You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on this side of truth listens to me. Jesus told him that yes, he came as king to save the world. And that's what the Bible teaches us, that Jesus Christ came, was born to live and to die as king to save the world, save us from our sins. So yes, we should be able to sing joy to the world, right? But unfortunately, that's not always the case. Christmas time is a tough time for many people. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where Christmas has been somewhat depressing. I think it is for a lot of us. I don't know the reasons. There's reasons that are different for every single person. But it can be. Life can be tough. It's a proven fact that there is a lot of depression and issues of anxiety at this time of the year. If you watch television the other night, even Charlie Brown was depressed, right? There are many factors that contribute to our feelings. You know, some people just go around saying Christmas, bah humbug. They're just not Christmas people. They don't like Christmas. They don't celebrate Christmas. They don't know why you celebrate Christmas. They could care less about Christmas. That's just the way they are. Bah humbug, right? There's those folks. But there's many other factors. You know, the message of Christmas is a message of hope, peace, love, and joy. But at this time of year, not everyone is feeling hopeful. Not everyone is feeling at peace. They don't all feel loved. And for sure, they're not feeling that joy that Christ intended them to feel. But in light of what we just read, and in light of those passages that talk about Jesus coming as a king, why not? Why are we not joyous at this time of the year? Why are we so sad, some of us? Well, the answers are probably multiple. There's probably a lot of reasons why. Maybe this has been a really tough year for you. Maybe you've experienced loss in your life. Maybe you've experienced change in your life that you weren't ready for. Those things have now come to Christmas time, and now you're celebrating, and things are different than they were a year ago. That makes you sad. That could be one reason why. Maybe it's financial pressures. You know, sometimes we're under financial pressures year-round. And then at Christmas time, when everyone expects all these gifts and I got to spend this money, extra money that I don't have and I didn't save for, but yet I want to do it because I have a heart of giving, and I find it to be financially, the pressures cause me to be anxious or maybe even depressed because of that. Maybe it's because we've become so busy at Christmas time. You know, there's a lot going on. You have to work. You have to play. You have to go to parties. You have to go Christmas shopping and fight the crowd. And we're so busy doing all these things that we call part of the season that we lose touch with our family, with our friends, with the things that are really important in this season. And we find ourselves so busy, we get depressed because we can't do the things we really want to do. Maybe Jesus is no longer a part of the season for you. Maybe it's all about all the other stuff. And you've lost sight of Jesus Christ, the reason for the season. You know, Christmas has become so commercial, hasn't it? It's become so commercial that a lot of the real meaning of Christmas has just gone away. So here this morning, I don't know your reasons. If you find yourself being one of those folks that just are not joyous right now, for whatever reason, I don't know the reason for you. But I know that if we continue as Christ followers to put our focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is King, that he has come as a king to save the world, including us, as that he lived and he taught us and he died for us so that we may have life everlasting, and that we come to this time of year to celebrate his birth, to celebrate the fact that he came to save us. If that's where our focus is, then we will have a lot easier time singing joy to the world, the Lord has come. I believe then and only then can we find true joy in the season. Because then we would be celebrating the right thing, Jesus' birth. And that's what it's all about. Everything else that's been created or laid on top of this is worldly things. And we have to fight against that. We have to be careful that we don't lose sight of that. Christ can give you and me hope and peace and love and joy in the midst of our pain and in the midst of our busyness if we only allow him and if we only receive him as King. So this brings us to the main point of this message this morning. It brings us to a time in which we can take a look at what's really important in life. And we can take a look at the fact that when we receive Jesus as our King, in which every one of us here this morning, if you're a Christ follower and you have made that commitment to him, you have received him as your King, and because of that, you and I are now kingdom people. We're people of the kingdom of God. And you might ask yourself, okay, so what? What difference does that make? Well, it makes a huge difference, or at least it should, in our life. When we become kingdom people, we take on kingdom ways, kingdom qualities. Things change because of our decision to follow him. Your day-to-day life should change. My day-to-day life should change because I am now a kingdom person. So this morning, I want us to look at five ways in which our life changes because we're kingdom people. First of all, there's a change of our allegiance. We are no longer allegiant to this world and to the ways of this world. We are now show our allegiance, or we should, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that can bring about true change in our life. It's if we are willing to receive him as our King. This King deserves our loyalty, our obedience. He deserves honor and praise and glory. And when we have agreed to follow him as King, we truly then become kingdom people. But what are kingdom people? They are people who pursue God and pursue God's will. People who put God and his will above themselves and above our will. Someone who understands what God wants and makes that more important than what we want. Not our will, but his. In Matthew 6:10, he says this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And Jesus taught that well throughout his life. The most memorable one is at the cross. Before he got to the cross in the garden, when he said to God, "It's your will, not mine." He didn't want to be separated from his Father, and he knew that's what was going to happen because of our sin. But he said, not my will, but yours. A great thing about becoming kingdom people, though, is that it doesn't depend on life or what's going on in our life. It doesn't depend on what race we are, whether we're white or whether we're black or whether we're some other nationality. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether we're male or female or what kind of social status we have, whether we're poor or we're middle class or we're wealthy, whatever it means, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter when our circumstances change. Whatever our circumstances are, he's still King, and if we follow him, we're still kingdom people. It doesn't matter anything else. Christ tells us that he came to seek and to save the lost, all of them if possible. That's why he came. That's why he was born in Bethlehem. He came to do that, to seek and to save the lost. Maybe you're wondering, or saying to yourself, maybe I'm not always living like kingdom people. Maybe I don't always do what God would want me to do as a kingdom person. Let's see what that looks like. These are just a few qualities of a kingdom person. Kingdom people. You can ask yourself whether you have these qualities. I've had to ask myself the same thing. Number one, they allow the word of God into their hearts and into their minds. You know, to be kingdom people, we have to be reading God's word. We have to be looking at what the King wrote and understanding his message to us as King to his people and understanding His word. They also strive to follow God's commandments. They know what He tells us to do, and they try to follow it as much as they possibly can. And when they don't, they repent, and they change their ways. They have a loving heart, especially toward other people. That's kingdom people. They are willing servants. They know that God has called them to serve Him, to serve others, to be involved in the whole service part of life in order to make it easier for someone else. They understand that principle. They care for those who are in need, and they care for those who are hurting. They care enough to do something, to listen, to help. They guard their hearts from the evil one. I'm going to tell you, folks, the evil one would love to get to our hearts. He would love to destroy us. He knows that if we are there trying to do and serve Him and love Him and understand that King, He wants to do everything He can to destroy that, and we need to guard our hearts from the evil one. These folks have discernment. They know right from wrong, but they go a step further. They do it. They do what's right. And when they don't, they confess that. They repent. God will forgive, and they change their ways. They put their hope in God and not in this world. That's a huge one. Because you know what? This world is not going to save us. God will. So that's what they do. That's what kingdom people look like. That's what they represent. But also the second part is they change their expectations that they had prior to becoming kingdom people. Our expectation for life is based sometimes on about what we know that's going on in this world and what this world has to offer. Not really thinking about God or His kingdom, we're thinking about what's happening right here today. This world seems to be moving, and I think most of us would agree, further from God and His ways each and every year of our life. Things are drifting away from God. So we find ourselves living for the day, grabbing the gusto, having it our way, or as Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley would say, they did it their way. Really? Is that what we as kingdom people should be striving for, is to have it my way? We're striving to be like the King, and we want it the King's way, not our way. That's what we need to understand. The joy is His way. That's when we find joy, when we live life His way. We live it as kingdom people. We look at His promises and His will for our life. Our expectations can be for life, can be that we just ask God to bless us. Sometimes we go there. And that's okay. We want God's blessing. We want it. We want that. But we need to understand that, first of all, we need to be kingdom people and understand who Jesus Christ is, to understand His love for us and to accept that and to receive Him as our King. And then He will truly bless us. And that's when the blessings will come. Thirdly, we need to change our value system. You see, in America, we have one set of values compared to other people in the world. It's different. Here in America, we value things like equality, individuality, success. The sky is the limit. And here's one we like: work hard, play hard. Those are some of the American values that we have. I'm not saying that they're right or wrong. I'm just saying that's some of the values that we have here. The Japanese have a whole list that's different. They value things like obligation to the group, behaving according to status, harmony, self-improvement, just to name a few. And the people in Europe, they value different things as well. They may value socialism, tradition, leisure, sensuality, family, and friendship. They're different than we are. But you know, folks, it doesn't really matter what the values of America are, or the values that are the Japanese values, or even the Europe values. What matters is the values of the kingdom people, the kingdom of God. What does He value? What does He put as what's important for us? That's what we need to understand, that kingdom values is what's really important. We find that in the section of the Bible, there's a place where He tells us exactly what that looks like. So if we find ourselves wondering, well, what does that look like? what are the kingdom values? What does God want us to do? Well, one place you can turn to is in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 10. It's called the Beatitudes. These are the values that God places as important for all of us. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You see, kingdom people adopt the king's values. They make choices in their life that reflect those values. Every one of us need to be doing that. We need to be understanding what Christ's values are and making those changes into our life so that it reflects the values of our king. Kingdom people making these choices and these values, they make them at work. They have to make them at home. They have to make them when they're with their friends and their families. They have to make these kind of choices when they're in their community. And they have to make these kind of choices when they're being watched and when they're not being watched. It's a change that's right here, a change in our heart that happens all the time. So we need to change those values. And number four, we need to change the priorities in our life. If you've accepted Christ, you've received him as your king, and now you're trying to live as kingdom people, your priorities have changed. When you want to see what's important in your life, there's a couple places you can go to look. One is your calendar, and one is your checkbook. Or maybe in today's language, it's your online account or your Google Calendar. Either way you go, those two things will show you what's important to you. They'll say a lot about what your values are and what you value. And what does God have to say about that? In Matthew 6:34, the passage tells us that we cannot love both money and God. And it also tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and if we do, all things will be added unto us. You see, God wants us to have the right priorities in our life. And those priorities he's talking about are huge. And we need to take a look at those and see if they're accurate to the way he would want, that they go along with his values, that they go along with what he's trying for us to be. So we need to put God first in our life. We need to honor him by placing him at the top of our list. And that's hard to do. Sometimes in our life, especially this time of year, like I said before, we're so busy, we got so many things happening that we just hardly have time for God. And I find that so ironic that what we're celebrating is the birth of Jesus Christ, but we are so busy and so stressed out and so anxious about the season that we cannot find time to do that. That don't make sense, does it? But that's what happens to us. We're all guilty of that at times. We get so tied up in the world that we forget about what we're supposed to be celebrating. As followers of Jesus, we need to bring kingdom values and kingdom priorities into our day-to-day lives. God needs to be at the top of our priority list, especially at this time of the year. And the final point, number five, is there will be a change in our lifelong mission. You see, our mission for life will change when we've received Jesus as our King. Our mission for life is different than it was prior to receiving him as King. It just is, or at least it should be. Things should change. Here's what Rick Warren has to say about our purpose in life. Rick Warren, in this Purpose-Driven Life book, says this: The purpose of your life is far greater than your personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, then you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose, and you were born for His purpose. That's what Rick Warren had to say. King David says it this way: "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." When we become kingdom people, we have a kingdom mission. Our mission is no longer the same. It's no longer about trying to get ahead or try to accumulate more stuff or to have more money or a bigger house or a better job. All those things are maybe fine in their own way, but that's not our mission in life. And at Christmas time, and during this time of Advent, it's our job, it's our role to help all of us understand that life is far more important than some of the hustle and bustle that we spend our time and energy in order to get through this time of year. And we find ourselves in January being broke, even more anxious when the bills start coming in, and we've put so much focus on giving away things that we don't have instead of giving away what we do have, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. And whether we're called to give it to our family or give it to our friends or our neighbors or the people we work with, life is important. Our mission is important. Contrary to popular belief, it's not about being happy. It's about being obedient and finding true joy in Jesus Christ. You know, like I said, some of us are struggling through this time of year. Some of us are having a hard time singing joy to the world. But we need to figure out our lives in such a way and understand the bigger picture so that we can get rid of the tensions that we have there and be able to truly say and to be able to truly sing joy to the world. That's what we need to be able to do. We will no longer need to worry about things, worry about the future, worry about the world, but instead focus on being a kingdom person. Focus on being what God has called you to be, your purpose in life. And when you do that, and when you can look at life that way, you can accept a lot of things that happen in this world a lot better. Because your mind and your heart and your soul are focused on Jesus Christ and the fact that He came to save the world. And in that process, if you've received Him as a king, He has done that for you. If you're saying, "Well, I don't really understand what my mission for God is," well, let me make it clear for you. Because this is the same mission that every single one of us in this room as Christ followers have. And we find it in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is our mission, folks. It's got nothing to do with shopping or trees or lights or all the other things that we throw into these 4 weeks to the place that we're exhausted. It has to do with taking the gospel message to this world. That's our mission. And when we become kingdom people, our mission changes. So whether you are a person who is driven to accomplish great worldly things, or you're a person who just lives aimlessly day to day and lacks any purpose or direction, when you receive Jesus Christ as your King, life will never be the same again. And if it hasn't changed, maybe you need to examine that. Because when we receive Christ as King, life will change. Your mission will change. Your direction will change. And you will start to become kingdom people, accomplishing great things for the Lord. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Receive your King. Would you bow with me? Father God, I just thank you that you are our King, that you are our Lord, our Savior, that you are a person who loves us so much and has a person that is here for us to teach us, to give us the example of life. I thank you for the sacrifice you made so that we can live forever with you. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the fact that no matter what's going on in our life today, no matter what we're hurting about, no matter what we've experienced over the past 12 months, no matter what's going on in our life, if we truly have received you as our King, then we have plenty to sing about, and we can sing joy to the world, the Lord has come, and we can do that with all of our hearts and soul. Thank you, Father, for that love you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.